Today on Bold Steps, Mark Job reminds us that God wants to use each one of us to accomplish His purposes.
There are some people that feel like God could never use me. I should sit on the sidelines because maybe I'm not trained enough. Maybe I haven't been around long enough. Maybe I don't know enough about God. But if you're here and you're breathing, God wants to use you.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Mark Job. Mark is president of Moody Bible Institute and the senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Mark, I know whenever people hear that God wants to use them, they often feel unqualified, inadequate for the task. So how do we get to that place where we trust God to use us for His kingdom despite our own feelings of inadequacy?
And Wayne, let me say, we are absolutely unqualified, yeah. And we are absolutely unworthy of being used of God.
So let's be clear, huh?
So let's be clear about it. Nonetheless, thank God for His incredible grace and mercy, and God is able to use anyone who makes themselves available. And so in this message, I think you're going to learn that regardless of where you're at in your journey, you can be used to one capacity or another by God.
It's Christ in us. That's the key. Let's get the message now from Mark, how to be used of God.
You know, I grew up in the country of Spain, and so our first sport is soccer. Our second sport is soccer. Our third sport is soccer. Our fourth sport is soccer. And it's divided between Barcelona and Real Madrid. Those are the two big teams there. And so my brother, when he was about a freshman in high school, he had a dream of coming to the U.S., and he had never played American football, but he wanted to come to an American high school and play American football. That was his dream. He went to Bogan High School, and he joined the football team, and he practiced, and he was excited about it. He was pumped up, working, and because he was new and because he was a freshman, they had him sit on the side. But then one game, early on into the semester, a player got injured, and they called Job. And he said, "Hey, Job, come on out." And he was so excited. Like, finally my chance to play. I've been preparing. This is my dream. He got out into the field. Shortly after he got it, someone threw the ball. He caught an interception. The crowd went wild. His team went wild. Can't believe that Job from Spain caught the interception. He started running. The team started going a little bit even more wild. He heard people yelling while he was running with the ball towards the touchdown. He saw his own players yelling, "Job, Job," and he saw panic on their face, but he thought, hey, they're excited. He saw the coach out of the side of his eyes yelling, "Job, Job," and he thought, wow, they're really pumped up about me getting this ball. And he kept running with all his might, and he crossed the line, and he turned around, and he realized he had just done a touchdown on the wrong side of the field. I believe everybody here should be in the game, not sitting on the sidelines, not just consumers, because I believe that everyone here has gifts and a call of God, and I believe that God wants to use you. There are some people that feel like God could never use me. I should sit on the sidelines because maybe I'm not trained enough. Maybe I haven't been around long enough. Maybe I don't know enough about God. But if you're here and you're breathing, God wants to use you. Tell the person beside you, God wants to use you. Maybe you're here today and you say, "I'm not even a believer." That's all right. God still wants to use you. He first wants to save you, then He wants to use you. I'm just letting you know that. But God wants to use you. He's got a purpose and a plan for your life. And so I want us to look at what God has to do to use us, how God uses us. And so if you take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, we're only going to be looking at two verses today of Romans chapter 12, how to be used of God. And I'm going to give you a spoiler alert in advance. There are two things that need to happen according to this passage for you to know the will of God and for him to use you. Two simple things. Write them down. Number one, surrender your body. Number two, renew your mind. Let me repeat them. Very simple. Number one, surrender your body. Number two, renew your mind. It tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, I urge you, brothers, this is for brothers and sisters, but it's generic, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Listen, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Word of the Lord. Let me start by the first verse. The first thing that God requires of those that he's going to use, he says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Let me break this down. If you have your Bibles, the very first word that is listed there in chapter 12, verse 1, is the word therefore. For those of you that flunked your English class, therefore is an adverb. They call it a conjunctive adverb. The adverb therefore ties two thoughts together. So anytime you see the word therefore in the Bible, you have to ask yourself, what is it? Therefore. It means that I'm building on a previous thought. So as we go into chapter 12 of Romans, the Apostle Paul is saying, I'm building on a last thought. By the way, can I tell you that the Bible was not written with chapter and verses? Those were added at a later date so that when we study the Bible, we could say chapter 12, verse 1. But the Apostle Paul and other authors of the Bible didn't write them with chapters and verses. Those were added for our convenience. So these thoughts carry into one another. So what is the Apostle Paul building on? Well, look at the end of chapter 11. The end of chapter 11, verses 33 through 36, the Apostle Paul gives a doxology. A doxology is a blessing, and he builds the therefore on this blessing. And let me read it for you. It says, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom of the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? The Apostle Paul is saying, God is so big, so magnificent, so omniscient that you can't even begin to grasp the mind of God. You could spend your days 8 hours a day, 10 hours, 12 hours a day, from morning until late at night, all of your life until you're 90 years old. And at 90 years old, after studying every verse of theology, historical theology, looking into every spiritual book, memorizing the Bible, every jot and tittle, and do everything that you can to understand the mind of God, you would walk away realizing, I know very little about who God is. I've only scratched the surface of this omnipotent, omniscient being. Because who can know the mind of a God that has never had a beginning, that will never have an end? A God that is omniscient, which means he knows all things. A God that's omnipotent, which means he has all power. A God that is sovereign, which means that there's nothing beyond his ability to change. A God that's immutable, which means that he never changes, because if you're already perfect, you can't change into perfection. And the Apostle Paul in his doxology says, who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be glory forever and ever. So the Apostle Paul says God's mind is so big, God's character is so great that none of us could ever begin to fathom who God is. He says, therefore. You say, well, if God is so big, if his mind is so great, how am I ever going to know what God's will is for my life? The Apostle Paul breaks it down into two things that I just told you. If you want to know the will of God for your life and be used of God, therefore, I urge you. He's imploring. There's urgency in his voice. I'm asking you with all of my heart, in the view of God's mercy. In other words, why should we ever even want to be used of God? Because in the first 11 chapter of Romans, the Apostle Paul has described the mercies of God. He's told us that we're adopted. He's told us that nothing can separate us from the love of God. He's told us that we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit into the redemption. He's told us that he has given us a spirit of adoption and he's broken the bonds of slavery. He's told us that we are his. He's told us that he has forgiven us as far as the east is from the west. He's thrown his sins away from us because of his mercy. Because of his mercy, in light of God's mercy, he says this, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, this statement, offer your bodies a living sacrifice, was a shock to the listeners. You see, in the Jewish culture, when anybody wanted to enter the temple or get close to the temple to offer prayers, they would have to sacrifice something on the altar. People would buy lambs and sometimes doves, and they would sacrifice an animal on the altar and sprinkle the blood so that they could come clean and so that they could get close to the holiness of God. And they were used to the altar. The altar was a place where a sacrificed animal was placed on before they could draw near. It was their way of coming into the presence of a holy God, acknowledging that they had sinned, so they would offer a sacrifice. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And so they understood what a sacrifice was. Can I tell you, by the way, that we don't do sacrifices like that anymore? We don't have any room in the back with chickens and goats and sheep that we sacrifice. You know why? Because 2,000 years ago, there was a sacrifice that was made. It's the perfect sacrifice, a sacrifice like none other. It wasn't a great, unblemished specimen of a sheep that was sacrificed. It was the perfect sacrifice. All God, all man, without sin, dying on a cross, shedding his blood. We call it Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, who died for us. And ever since then, there are no sacrifices, because there was one sacrifice that was made that is sufficient to wash away our sins from now unto eternity. We no longer have to offer blood sacrifices, because he was the sacrifice that takes away the sins of the world. But the Apostle Paul says, I'm not asking you to bring me a sacrifice. Listen. I'm asking you to be the sacrifice. I'm not asking you to bring a sacrifice to me. I'm asking that you would offer yourself as a sacrifice for me. Not a sacrifice that gets killed, but a living sacrifice. In other words, he pictures this image of us as living human beings getting up on the altar, normally where an animal was killed, but now we as living beings are up on the altar saying, God, my body belongs to you. I am staying on this altar knowing that I belong to you. I want to live for you. I want to breathe for you, talk for you. I want my life to be yours, but I'm a living sacrifice to you.
You're listening to Bold Steps, the Bible teaching of Mark Jobe, and we will continue in just a moment, but I do want to pause to tell you about the upcoming Moody Bible Institute Israel Tour happening in May of this year. It's not very far off. It's a 10-day life-transforming journey allowing you to immerse yourself in the sights and culture and landscape of the Holy Land. Mark, you'll be leading this along with Dr. Michael Radelnik. Do you remember the first time you visited Israel? What was that impact like for you?
Wayne, I remember it very vividly. And there are so many places that stand out in my mind, but one of them is the Garden of Gethsemane, because they still have some of these old trees that are from that era, some of them hundreds and hundreds or thousands of years old. And to be in the place where Jesus agonized before going to the cross and to be able to see Jerusalem from there, what a powerful experience. And nothing like being there in person for it to be etched in your mind. Mm-hmm. So if you have never been to Israel, I can't think of a better time to go and a better group to go with than with Moody Bible Institute and Michael Radelnik, who is just phenomenal when it comes to all things Israel.
Right. There's always something new to learn. So even if you've been there before, this is a wonderful learning opportunity too.
It really is. And I'm going to be there with my wife as well. So we invite you to join us for this extraordinary experience happening in May of this year. And we have limited amount of seating there. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure exactly how we are in it being filled up, but right. I would jump on it pretty quickly if I were you.
Well, you can do that when you visit boldstepsradio.org. Just look for the Moody Israel Tour there on the webpage, boldstepsradio.org. You can register right there, get more information, and we welcome you to join us on that trip. All right, let's get back into the second half of today's study now. Mark has a final word for ways that we can get in the game and allow ourselves to be used by God.
This is huge, and I want you to understand this. If you are going to be used of God, it says, brothers, that you would offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Now, let me break this down for a second, because I think it's important to understand. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says that we as human beings exist in a trichotomy, which means that there's three components. We are body, soul, and spirit. The body is the part of you that this morning when you got up, some of you, it ached. It's that part of you that when you look in the mirror this morning, you said, I got to do something with this hair. I don't say that very often. It's the physical part of you. The part that right now I see, and the part that you see. But there's a part that we don't see that's called our soul. Our soul is our emotions, our intellect, and our will. Sometimes we call it our personality. It's that part of us that composes the you, what makes you unique as an individual and as a person. That's your soul. It is how you think and how you act. It is the decisions that you make and how you feel. It is the thinking part of you, the volition part of you, the essence of who you are. That's your soul. But there's a third part of you that every human being is born with that we don't talk about really in the scientific world that much, but it's called the spirit part of you. You are a spirit being. And every human being is a spirit being. You have a spirit. That spirit inside of you is the part that relates to the spiritual world, the unseen world. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It's that part of you that connects to the spirit world. When you become a believer in Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Holy Spirit, which is the third person of the Godhead, at the moment that you become a believer, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit comes inside of your body and awakens your spirit. So now the Holy Spirit lives with your spirit in your body. The Holy Spirit now becomes the paraclete, the coach. When you open the Bible, the Holy Spirit enlightens your mind so that you understand the Bible. When you go to worship, the Holy Spirit wants you to call Abba Father. He propels your spirit to worship. When you sin, he brings conviction upon you and you feel the grief of the Holy Spirit. When you start to praise, he brings about joy in you so you feel the joy of God. When you feel like you have no power to overcome certain things in your life, you experience the power of the Holy Spirit that gives you the strength to overcome things that you could not overcome in your natural power. When you open up your mouth to speak of God, he fills your mouth with words that you didn't know even you had, because it's the Holy Spirit empowering you to be a bold witness to God himself. This is important that you understand. So he says, listen, he says, offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing. That word holy, if I were to ask that you describe yourself, most of you would not describe yourselves as holy. In fact, when I say, well, what do you think of when I say the word holy? You may say God. Or some of you have this image of, well, a picture that you have seen maybe. Maybe of a woman dressed in religious clothes, usually kind of looking like she just drank some lemon juice, with a little halo and her hands folded in prayer. And you think, well, that's holy. The word holy means set apart unto God. This may surprise you, but if you're a believer in Jesus, the Bible calls you a saint. Say your name. No, say your real name. And now practice doing this. Put saint in front of your name. Go ahead, do it. That's who you are. Every one of us as believers in Jesus Christ, if you are a follower of Jesus, you are being called to be set apart unto God. In other words, you're in the world but not of the world. You are called to live a life that is separate unto God, dedicated unto God, in the midst of a world but not behaving like the world. In the middle of the trenches, but not stained by the trenches. Not talking or walking or behaving like the world around us, because we are called to be set apart. We are called to be holy. Now, I want you to understand this, because this is very important. So God says, if you want to be used, I want you to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. The altar refines us. The altar puts to death stuff in us that is not of God. And so the thing about a living sacrifice, we can try to get off the altar. And God says, no, I want you to stay on the altar even while I'm refining you. You're living, but I want you to stay there.
You're listening to Bold Steps with Mark Job. If you've missed any part of this message, let me invite you to catch up right now when you visit boldstepsradio.org. Well, we're at the beginning of a new year, which makes it a good time to remind you about Mark's book called What Now? How to Move into Your Next Season. If you've been feeling like you're in a bit of a spiritual lull, What Now? Will help you step forward bravely into the next stage of your divine calling. And the book is yours with a gift of any amount to support the ministry of Bold Steps. You can give and request the book today by calling us at 844-615-7363 or by going online to boldstepsradio.org. To send a one-time gift in the mail, address your envelope to Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. That's 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. And when you write to us, make sure you ask for this month's special Bold Step gift, Mark's book, titled What Now? And don't forget, you can always catch Bold Steps and our sister program, Bold Steps Weekend, on your favorite smart device, including your smart speakers for your home or the office. Just say, Alexa, enable Moody Radio, and then Alexa, play Bold Steps with Mark Jobe.
Bold Steps with Dr. Mark Jobe from Moody Radio.
And no matter where you are or what you're doing, you'll never have to miss a minute of Mark's insightful teaching. And of course, you can always subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or any provider of your choice. Learn more when you visit boldstepsradio.org. And on our website, be sure to sign up for Mark's weekly devotional, The Bold Stepper Weekly. This free email arrives in your inbox automatically every Monday morning, and it's a great way to stay up to date on the latest ministry news and highlights and a devotional thought from Mark. Well, I'm Wayne Shepherd. That's all the time we have today. But be sure to come back tomorrow when Mark continues his message called How to Be Used of God. That's coming up right here, Friday, on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.